And yes, this is the National Liberty Alliance Ham Net on the air. And this is Kilo Whiskey 4, X-Ray Golf, Wonder Ann. And this is our opportunity where we can discuss National Liberty Alliance and ham topics. And we do have a guest today. I was always calling him a mentor. And so with him being my mentor all these years, Jan taught me the new word that he learned at a club. Jan, can you help me with what that word was so I get it straight again?
Well, that was Mr. Elmer. Elmer is your mentor. And at the ham meeting last week, somebody brought up the fact that this Elmer that, apparently had either passed away or moved out of the area like 15, 20 years before, had done this and that. So he was a well-known, well-recognized Elmer, and he was a mentor for a number of people, actually. So
cool. And I asked Art. Now, Art is my guest, and he's my mentor, and he's going to give his call sign. And I've got a little book that I bought for like 50 cents at Walmart, and Chris said he got his in a grocery store. So that's big expense on keeping a log of your calls. So I've asked my mentor, now I'm going to use the proper name, Elmer, for all these years. And Art, would you check in, please?
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo Echo 4, Echo Alpha November, KE4EAN. Handles Art, Alpha Romeo Tango, and we're located in South Carolina.
Very good. And what is that about the Elmer? And what does that mean when, in a club when someone is an Elmer? Could you fill us in on that?
Well, I picked the word up basically with Elmer is something that amateur operators use talking about electronics and new antennas and anything to do with the hobby that they're in and learning about it, where a mentor can be a general help in any way that you're needing help as you're coming up and meet people and things to learn. Mentor has a broad variety of information to help you in things you may not know, but an Elmer is basically prime for amateur radio and projects and things like that. When you used to have to learn code, sometimes called CW, he would help you learn that, help you with the types of antennas to put up and tell you why the antenna was used for that particular purpose. So I would say an Elmer is basically derived from the amateur radio standpoint, which you can be either an Elmer or a mentor. I'm not sure what Webster defines the two as, but that's my prognosis. Over.
Thank you very much. And Art has been that full empathy for me. He's helped me put up my almost 200-foot tower, the antenna. He's leashed the antenna wire over to my house and put up a rod so it wouldn't be drooping on cars or trucks, or sometimes my poor neighbor gets an ambulance and takes her to the hospital, so it doesn't hook on any of that. And he set up all of my ham stuff. So he has been the King Elmer in my life. I am now calling him King Elmer instead of my mentor. So we also have Art on here because I know zip about a ham radio. Art's background is he was 10 years the president of a ham club. So if you have any questions about ham clubs, please do. So we're going to now switch over to check-in. And with check-in, anybody who's on the call, we want you to give your call sign and your name. And if you don't have am I echoing, Jan? Do I need to go off speaker? Hello?
You sound okay.
Oh, okay. And
we're cutting in and out a little bit.
Okay, let me go off speaker. Okay, is that better or is that worse?
A little bit louder, that's okay.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, and if you don't have a call sign, then use your state and then your name. And that way you're getting used to coming in like Chris, that Terry has, I gave Terry a new name. Terry, the actual way he's been teaching us how to do it, and that Art and I actually do on the ham calls. So if you are if you want to just listen, say after your call, sign and or your state and name, just say just listening, or if you wish to have a comment or you have a question, any question is open field here. So let's start. Anybody that wishes to call in with their call sign or their state and name, please do it now.
This is Whiskey Quebec Tango Zulu 711, Doug in Colorado. I promise I'll behave myself this week, or at least mute out if I can't. I have no comments. I'm out.
Thank you.
This is KI0RE, Terry in Colorado.
Oh, could you say it slower, please?
Hilo India 0 Romeo KI0RE.
Okay, thank you. I'm still slow at getting the alpha sound. Okay, the phonetic sound. All right, anybody else that wishes to check in?
Yeah, this is Peter Abel Juliet Abel November, otherwise PA Jan, checking in. Over.
That was great. Say that again so I can get it.
If anything you want to make it, it was Peter Abel Juliet Abel November. Just the phone.
That's your name. So you're PA.
That's the test.
All right. You passed the test, but you haven't gotten the call sign yet. So it's Pennsylvania, Jan, Justin. Okay, I'm going to do what they do when we do net control. I want to welcome Kilo, okay, K-E-4-E-A-N-R from Spartanburg, South Carolina, and WQTZ-711, Doug in Colorado, and K-I-Z-R-E, Terry in Colorado, and then P-A Jan in Pennsylvania. So I want to welcome all of you, and if I messed your number up, please do correct me. Thank you. Anybody else that wishes to call in? Anybody else that wishes to call in and give their call sign and name or your state and name?
This is Kansas Jan, and you're doing a really good job, Wonder Ann.
Thank you, Kansas Jan. Thanks for being on. You're going to be on doing it, too.
Yeah, over.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else that wishes to check in with their call sign or their state name? Do so now, please.
Kilo Mike 4, Whiskey Uniform Juliet, Bruce in Florida.
All right. And Bruce, could you give your second letter, please? I missed that.
It's Kilo Mike. AM4.
KM4, okay. So I wish to welcome Kansas Jan and KM4WUJ Bruce in Florida, who also just passed his first test in Florida. Welcome. Thank you. Anybody else that wishes to check in?
Hello, this is Alpha Bravo 3 Zulu India John in Pennsylvania, AB3ZI.
And that's, okay, I got that. Okay, that's a welcome to, oh, that's KB. KB3ZI, John, and where was that, John?
I'm in Pennsylvania, and that first letter is A like Alpha.
Oh, it was A like Alpha. I thought I miswrote it. Okay, A like Alpha, B3ZI, John in Pennsylvania. Thank you very much for calling in and getting me to write it correctly. Anybody else that wishes to call, Simon? Is there anybody else that wishes to check in with their call sign and name or their state and name? Okay. Well, we'll continue with what I thought might be an interesting program for the listeners. I'm getting a feedback. Let me go off of the speaker. Is that better? Okay, I think someone was had some noise in the background. Okay, what I wanted to share with you and had Art come on was the fact of what's happening in our club area here in Spartanburg and may be happening in your area. And the reason I'm bringing it up is the issue of where can you get more hands-on awareness of what ham radio operators are really doing in your area. And Art, would you tell people what is going on this Saturday in one of our little towns? It's called Inman, South Carolina. And Art's done it around Spartanburg, but Inman gets a little farther from where he lives. So, but he's done it many, many years. So what is it they're doing this Saturday?
Sure. The Spartanburg Club and other agencies are helping out the Inman Fall Festival, and they're setting up different displays of emergency equipment that's available that amateur radio operators have. There would be 911 firefighters and other people there showing the emergency preparedness equipment that would be available doing an emergency, and along with while people are enjoying the fall festival in the little town. The Spartanburg Club, has a trailer that we have put a workbench and got a generator and was portable with antennas that can attach to it. And we will have that in operation and try to encourage people to come in. Step in the trailer or listen and show them amateur operators in contacting other areas and states and have brochures to hand out of how they may get an amateur license. It's not as hard as it used to be. Some people are still scared about the code, and they did away with the code that was required. And you can get a book from ARRL or at your local library, or you can go online. And, of course, the ones that's got their license knows of this, and the ones thinking about it, it's real easy to get your first step license, which is a technician, and you move from there up to general and then extra. And you have a lot of fun working with this, and all the amateurs is stressed that they own their own equipment. It does not cost the county or anyone anything, and so they get some super good service per the amateur operators providing it with information and emergency operations. I think that about sums it up, wouldn't it, Wondran?
Yes, that was very good. We had one just 2 weekends ago at the library just to show people the hobby of it. So there's many sides and facets for ham radios and what you can do. And the thing is that they're nice people. Would you believe? They're really nice people that you meet there. and they just want you to learn how to do and become a ham radio. And they're so knowledgeable. I can't tell you, the first time I was there, when I met, they were like throwing stuff at me, and I'm going, oh, because that's all I 90% of it, I didn't know what they were talking about, to be honest with you. But they were patient with me. They were patient, and Art spent a lot of time showing me things. And so never feel, when you go to these meetings or even on this call with Terry, that your question is a dumb question. The only question is a dumb question is the one you didn't ask, and you say, "Don, I wish I'd asked that question." So please, if you have a question for Art, his experience is profound. He really knows his electronics. I had to go to school to find out. But he's worked in the field. He knows the business. So please feel free to ask Art any question you want. Are there any questions, or anybody that's just come on board and wishes to check in with our NLA Hamnet on the air? Please do so now. Yes. Go ahead. Hello? Does someone want to check in? Well, I'm going to ask you a question out of my own. With the emergency first responders, why are the hams valuable? When something, an emergency happens, why do you think hams become so valuable to the emergency responders?
Well, one thing is the ham radio operators have their own equipment, and they have proven it will work. And at times when the cell phones, towers have without power and things of this nature, helped out when Hurricane Hugo came through South Carolina. The police department even lost power for a while, and the ham operators had emergency generators, battery pack, powers, one thing and another, and they did relay emergency traffic in and out for maybe half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, till they got their generator back up where the police department could work, and they were just limited at that time. So the amateur is a great vital part of communications and works at times when cell phone towers and other communications go down. So it's a really neat thing to have, and you feel like you've helped out your fellow men kind there. Over.
Excellent. Thank you so much, because when you can't get to talk to someone immediately in your own family, you will panic. So if you've got a ham radio and you know there's an emergency, you will be of service. And that's the whole premise why NLA is building this ham on the air portion of NLA and through the Committee of Safety. Now, you said a word earlier, and I didn't think anybody may have known that the CW meant something more than CW. What does CW mean? I learned it on the test, everybody, so I am no brilliant here. But what does CW mean, Art?
CW is short for continuous wave. When you send code, there's no modulation with a voice. It's a tone of pitch that is set out by dots and dashes, and it's continuous wave. My elder, he's 93 years old, and he can tell you things that I still don't know. I was in the Air Force and worked on aircraft radios and stuff, and they taught a lot of stuff, and he still knows things that I didn't know. And he has a T-shirt, and he wears it and laughs, and he says, without CW, it's just CB. So that's the play. Over.
Thank you. And isn't the CW Morse code for the rest of us neophytes that you hear the dot, dot, and the dash, dash, and stuff like that, or SOS? We even at our railroad museum have a Morse code that you can tap out the dots and the dash. So thank you for that, Art. That's a big help. Does anybody else have any question, or do we have anybody that's new that wishes to check in with their call sign and name or their state and name? Please do it now. Okay. Well, we still have time on the – go ahead.
California Fred checking in.
Over. All right. California Fred, we've got you now. Thank you very much. Anybody else that wishes to join us or has any remark, any of our ham people, would you like to give any added put? What is your area doing with ham for this weekend? If you're doing any ham special shows, please share it now.
I thought I would just maybe make a comment here. I can remember many times being on board ship, walking past the radio room in the old days, and when they'd be sending out code, some people used what they called a bug, and depending on how long you kept your finger on the key, it would send out one, two, or three transmissions, so you could do three shorts and then a long and so on, just by flip. It was just amazing to listen to these people and listen to the code go out. It would be playing on the speakers. They were doing it, and they do it at a very high rate of speed. You know, it's just like they're sound asleep, sitting there clicking the thing, and the way it goes. So it's kind of fun to watch them. So I'd have to agree with Art. You know, this is kind of a lost art, maybe, but it is kind of interesting. And if you've never heard it, you know, you might make an effort at some meeting or something to listen to some of the CW.
Excellent point, Jan, and thank you for that. I met Art was at a pre-meeting before their meeting. I think it was. We met at a Arby's or something. But they had, and Art, you're going to have to correct me, some kind of a call day or a game day where my roommate and I were able to come, and we actually got on the ham radio and did a call. And can you fill us in what that is so that at that particular weekend thing, they did have Morse code there, and they even do it on the computer. So if you could fill us all in on those two points, see how valuable you are for my Elmer? Thank you.
I believe what you're referring to is what we call Field A. We have Field. It's an ARRL event, American Radio Relay League. It's always the last full weekend in June, and you should set up and simulate going out in the field or wherever you are, not in an air-conditioned radio shack, and string your antennas up, get generators or whatever, and you can contact as many other amateur radio operators that's on the air at that time. You give your call sign, the number of stations you're running, and the type of power you're using, and then you go and log that in and listen for somebody else. So it's a contest to see how many you can contact on bare conditions in the field. If you did have emergency, all the operators are on at that time. And yes, you do hear CW, Morse code, ever what you want to rely to it. As we know, I had a friend who his W4DBH, his last call of H, and the code for H is four dots, did. But he didn't send it right sometimes, and the code for an E is a dit, and the code for a T is two dits. So he would send it somebody, and people would laugh and said, I wasn't sure if you were sending four E's, two I's, or one H, and they kept getting on about it because the spacing was not right.
Thank you, Art. And that is funny because how many of us listen to Dits and Dots? You know, it's like really a new language entirely. But they took it out, Art, because was it too hard? They took it out of the exam, and it was a requirement for the tech exam. Did they take it out because just people were not using it, or it's gone down in use on the, in the hams? What is the real reason why they took it out of the exam?
Well, the everything is, even the service has taken code out of requirements. Everything's computerized. CW gets through on the frequency and that pitch. It gets through when voice does not. But now they've came out with so much computerization and code with the anything that you would send a code with, data, it they did not require it. So really the service started downsizing and taking code out, and then the amateur said, well, since they're not requiring it, if we learned it, nobody would be able to necessarily understand what we're saying. So they did not make it a requirement. I've forgotten the year that they passed that. It's still a lot. You can still have it, and there are contests using the CW and Morse code, but it's not required to get the radio license anymore. And some people, we have had more people to start joining the club, join the amateur radio network, because it, I guess you'd say the old timers used to do that, and the young kids got texting and smartphones, and they didn't want to sit down and take time to do that. So we are drawing some of the people back, drawing them into the radio club or organization, because they don't require them to do a CW or anything like that. But it that's basically two things. It was taken out of context because it was not required by other countries, even overseas. They dropped it, so they just kind of followed suit. Over.
Thank you, Art. That was great. And we're getting closer to closing time, and I have one more major topic I do want to talk, but I do want to see if any new people wish to check in with your call sign and name or your state and name. Please do it now. Okay, with nobody adding their name, I have a topic, and the reason I'm bringing it up is, so did you see the interesting things that can be done with ham radio? And our next topic that I discussed with Art before the show was a special event that we do here in Spartanburg area, and it's a tremendous feat, and it's in the springtime. Hopefully not a rainy day, but they actually do it on a business day. And Art, would you tell us about the ride up Mount Mitchell and why ham radios have been used for that specific reason?
Sure. This is a ride, a bicycle ride, put on by a local bicycle club here in Spartanburg called the Free Wheelers. And they ride, starting at 6 a.m. in the morning, they ride from Spartanburg up 221 up the mountain to Mount Mitchell, which is 102 miles. There is a stop in Marion, North Carolina, if you do not want to make the whole trip, and it's about 65 miles. The amateur operators set up, well, really, the Free Wheelers set up rest areas where you can get water and nourishment on the way up, and we have a radio operator at each rest area. There are 10 from the start to the finish, and in case someone happens to need medical attention, I've seen animals run out in front of the bike, and it tips the guy over, and he is bleeding real bad, and we'll have someone real radio to the closest sag wagon, which they have a radio operator into that, and they will pick them up They transport bikes. Sometimes the spokes break and one thing and another. And we use our communications because cell phones do not work in the mountains in this area. There's no towers. If there are, it's sketchy. You might get dial tone, get it, but the person couldn't hear you where or get the reception. So amateur operator works real good from checkpoint to checkpoint, and we go in, we do have a repeater that we can use, and we use it as much as we can. A repeater is another amateur piece of equipment that picks your signal up and retransmits it on out. So if you can, you're not really talking to, from Spartanburg to Mount Mitchell, 102 miles, you're going through a repeater, but you are able to talk to the mountain. And cell phones do not work in this area. So, this is an event that we help out the Spartanburg Bicycle Club on the route from Spartanburg to Mount Mitchell, which is a big feat in itself. And if you're a good rider, and these are professional bike riders who do this, they come from all over, they even come from overseas. It's a well-known route, and the bike rider, this last one that was sponsored was 5 hours and 25 minutes, I believe, from 102 miles. So I wouldn't even be out of city limits, I don't think, 5 hours, but that's uphill too, all the way uphill. It's not downhill. They don't start the top and come down. So it's a really interesting thing to work, watch, and we provide communications at each rest stop there. Over.
Thank you, Art. That was great because I've seen how it snows up the city, which is flat, sort of, and they close off everything. So those bikers can have, I call them bikers, but they have bicycles, and they are man-powered or woman-powered up that hill. So it's quite a feat. So you see where hams are used in other types of environments. And this is why we're doing it here in MLA. The ham net on the air is so that you're able to communicate at any time, anywhere with other hams in no emergency situation. And also be on what I do at Art. My Elmer has taught me on Monday and Friday at 8:30, I can get on and listen to them, be on the repeater, and invite other people to come on, make announcements, make comments, give their call signs, of course, if they start out that way. And, oh, I keep forgetting to not say my number, Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf. You're supposed to say that about every 10 minutes, and at the end of the call so that people know you're finished talking. And I've forgotten to do that, so I'm glad I'm starting to remember something. And because this is really a way in which we're learning communication in a totally new venue, if you want to say it that way. And on Thursday, they have another repeater program at 7:30. So what you can be doing if you haven't, go to the ham clubs and find out what your ham club is, what activities they're doing, and that you're looking for an Elmer. And if I heard it in the ham club people, I thought it was the name of a guy, okay? So that's why I called Art my mentor, because I knew what that meant for me. But as I said in the beginning, Art was the president of a ham club for 10 years, so he knows the ins and the outs, and I'm going to ask him some other questions in a few minutes. But I want to check in with anybody who's just come on to give your call sign and name or your state and name. I heard a voice in the background. Did you want to give your call sign or name? Go ahead, please.
I think Miss Kansas maybe just touched her mic.
Doesn't oh, look like okay.
She wants to talk to us.
Oh, poor Kansas Jan. And if any of you Go ahead, Jan. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I keep forgetting to mention that we do have the web page for the emergency communications plan in our hands up on the website now. If you go to the blue banner at the top and click on the Committee of Safety and scan down 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, it says emergency communications ham plan, and all of our information is on there. Even you can even buy the little bofang from that page. And clear down at the bottom of that, I've put all of the 6 audio files from our past meetings, and I'll add the one from tonight on to the bottom of that list. So that's all available now. It took us a while to get it up there, but we're off and running now. There's also a little like blog page where you can add a comment if you like at the bottom of the page. Over.
Thank you, PA Jan, for that announcement. That is great. Can you also fill us in with the type of equipment that is available and where can they get it and kind of what is going on in that arena? Over.
Yeah. We have the store open for radios now, and currently there is a choice of 2. There's a 5-watt and an 8-watt Bofang. And there is a variety of attachments like the cable to go to the computer for programming and a CD with it. There's about 2 or 3 antennas. One's a mobile rig for the top of your car. One is an extra long one for the handheld Bofang. And so all of the accessories, there's some earpieces, and I think there's a mic, a push-button mic as well. And I think the mic also has a little speaker in it, so you can use it remotely. So all of this stuff that we now have available is purchasable, and we do have it set up for credit card use. There is no more PayPal. We really got taken to the cleaners by PayPal, and so we're using only a cash, check, or credit card at this time. So feel free to go and browse, go to the store that has all of the radio stuff that we have available. We will be adding more, I think, as time goes on. Over.
Thanks, Jan. And today in my mailbox, I got a MFJ, and I may need your help on this, 2017 ham catalog. And I just kind of looked in, I opened it up and closed it because I don't know what I'm looking at. So what is the value of this MFJ catalog?
I'm not sure. I got a DX catalog in the mail the other day, and it's, I don't know, umpteen pages long, and it's got everything from soup to nuts, things I've never even heard of yet. So
there you go.
I can't help you out there, over.
I also, what Art got, and when he ordered my mic for the actual Kenwood meter I have, a radio I have, he got me a ham radio outlet book that's out of, was that out of Atlanta, Art? Over?
Yeah, well, HRO, some people call it, they shorten it to HRO. They have their main store, I believe, is in Anaheim, California. They have about 2 or 3 on the East Coast. And they're scattered throughout the United States. They might have a total of 8 stores or 7 stores altogether. And this just, HRO is just a, goodie shop with all kind of radio gear that you can buy from the dealer. MFJ is the same thing. It's just, he has his own line that he, manufactures. And so that's just a radio catalog that you can buy a radio from or an antenna analyzer that he makes is his brand as opposed to an antenna analyzer that Comet makes something like that. So those are two real good big radio outlet stores to buy accessories from. Either one would be real good things to look at and start with. Make your choice. Over.
thank you on that, because the one for the MFJ says right on the cover, Made in USA, and he's located in Starkville, Mississippi. And as you say, this I think you call Atlanta. I mean, there's all over. There's Anaheim, Oakland, Atlanta, Georgia, Phoenix, Arizona, Burbank, California, Plano, Texas, Denver, Newcastle, Delaware, Salem, New Hampshire, Portland, Oregon, and Woodbridge, Virginia. So they are very well covered around the U.S. So that gives you a little bit of another way of getting more information. This is about you getting more information. And so it's before we go on to the next part, is there anybody that has just joined us and wishes to check in, please use your call sign and name or your state and name. You can do it now. Thank you. Was that someone that wanted to say something? Okay.
Yes, I do have a comment, though. If any of you are planning to use your transceivers on HF and you're looking for a base antenna, a dipole, Muxcom down in Georgia. And every time I've called, I've got this lovely old gentleman that tells me he's been in this business for 60-some years and he knows everything. And he does. And they do have the Windom antenna, the 2 to 80 meter one. Sells for about $159. It's an excellent antenna for a base station, horizontal dipole. Over.
All right. Thank you, Jan. That was a big help. And it was you brought up another point. Both of you brought up a point about the testing and taking the test. Jan and I both went on the online hamtest.com, and for the cost of a book, we did the online, they teach you and then have you test, teach you and test. I'm going to give a suggestion. If you do that, go in, when you go into how you set up which section you're going to do on, go to the little subsections, and it'll break that subsection down into just that topic and focus on just that topic and get that. Then go to the next topic and continue down through the thing. Then click out of those and do the whole thing, and you will be surprised how much information you've learned in just going through the subtext. Then click out and do the whole that topic, if it's the technician's test or the general or the extra. With the technician and the general, you're just going to be getting 500 questions. So that's a lot to learn, but if you took it by subtopic, I learned this at the end of my studies. I found it was much faster on my learning curve, and it's easier to get it. So I thought that might be a hint for and tip for anybody that's going to be using the online hand test. Now, there's the QRZ that they have where it's just questions. And if you have a background, the questions will be really easy for you to do. But my background and my assimilation were not matching. How do you feel about that, Jan, and what you went through?
Well, I did the random approach. I went through and checked. You can, for each exam, they have about a dozen different categories, and you can go through and check any or all of those categories. You can check the box at the top. It automatically checks them all for you. And so I just checked the all, so it would wander back and forth from one to another. Otherwise, I found I kind of got disinterested in the same thing all the time, so that way I got a variety with practically every other question. But I think that exam presented that way is a really great way to study for us old fogies, because it keeps bringing it up again if you miss a question, and you can set how often it repeats that question until it realizes and logs that you do know it now. And then maybe 50 questions down the road, it'll throw it at you again just to make sure you still remember. So I thought it was a great way to study.
Over. I agree with you, Jan. That was the point I had, too. And okay. So I want to kind of close this next little bit of time with what a club really, the value of a club is, and why going to your local club and finding out about a local club and how you can best assimilate in, find an Elmer, and what other ways that are very suggestive of getting your feet and hands doing on the ham radio. So I'm going to turn it over to Art and say, what is it about clubs that make it so useful for us newbies to come in, and how can we better use a club to get further on in our ham training?
Well, I would say being in a club, any type club, it's good friendship, camaraderie with everybody that has the same interest. And no matter what you say, I still learn things. People say they did such and such and it worked out good, and I'll stop and think, well, I hadn't thought of that. I think I'll try that. So you'll find by having a club with everybody coming and talking about one thing and another, we call it in a radio club at Rag Chew. That's just another name for, as opposed to being a direct topic. We just talk about one thing and another. Our club has a business meeting of what we're going to do for the month coming, and then we try to have a program. A guest speaker come and give a demonstration or a slideshow or something about one facet area of building antennas, erecting antennas, the new type radios they have out, HF radios they got. We had one the other week on a software-defined radio. He shows you hear it, but you never have seen it, and he actually had a demonstration on that. That's something they've got, all type of new stuff that's out, and you see it, and you might think, well, I kind of like to get interested in that. So, but everybody's sharing things they've seen and done. It's really beneficial to keep your hobby interesting and keep you going. Then you can, if you have a question, surely somebody in the club will have an answer. Might not be right, but they got an answer. it's their idea. But anyway, it's just good camaraderie of having togetherness over a common denominator of amateur radio. Over.
Thank you, Art. That is really great. But they also have, what is this other thing that they do on Tuesdays through the rest of the month? What are those? Are those other meetings, or are they something else that they do here? And maybe they do it in other clubs, too. I don't know.
Well, our radio meeting is every Tuesday, and it's the regular meeting is the first Tuesday of the month, with for refreshments and at the end of the business meeting information program. The other Tuesdays are we just get together and rag chew. We found out that if you miss this month's Tuesday, you got to wait 4 more weeks until we go to another meeting. And this way we decided, let's just get together every Tuesday, whether we have anything important to discuss or not is immaterial. So the board meets one of the Tuesdays, and if you don't care about going to the board meeting, we have a room next door, and y'all can get into one side and just talk while the board discussed what they're going to do or handle the equipment, upcoming events. But the other Tuesdays, it's just a rag chew, and we have good, keep the club moving like that, rather than missing a meeting and waiting 4 weeks till you go to another one. So that's why we have it once a week there, one day. Over.
Thank you for that, because as you were speaking, I saw the continuity, because why most people fall out is because there isn't that connection and the continuity. And this is why we're on every Wednesday night, we're doing the NLA HamNet on the air program, so we can keep a continuity. And many people may forget about coming on, but they can listen to the recording afterwards. The recording is valuable. This is why we do record, so that you can always keep up your learning. If you forgot to come on, you had a conflict of a problem, just like Terry did, and this is why we're on and covering. You always make certain you can get the information, because the information is what keeps us connected. And I'm watching my time. We have another program that comes on at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, so I'm very conscious of, as Terry was, that we have to be off the air at that time. So I want to know if anybody has any more questions, if there's any new people that have come in, if they want to check in. It's never too late to check in with your call sign and name or your state and name. And please do it now. And if you have a comment or question or anything you wish to share, and anything you want to add to what we've been saying, please feel free to do that. Over.
Yeah, this is Pennsylvania, Jan. This is a little bit off topic. It's CW transmission, but a little different way of going about it. Navy ships at sea, if they want to be totally secure and not radiate RF energy, they often use lights. And so a long flash of light, a short flash of light, and then they send Morse code that way. They have big searchlights that have shutters on them, and the guy shifts and flips the shutters up and down to make the dots and dashes.
Kind of well, you know.
Over.
Thank you, Dan, because that was a brilliant point of issue. Because what if there is an EMP? That's a way, we won't have a light. But we could do it with a candle. You could do it with a candle and do a shutter and still do Morse code. Wouldn't that be possible?
Yep, or a big smoke bubble or a little smoke bubble like the Native Americans did and smoke signals.
There you go. We have to be adaptable. One thing about being on NLA, we have to keep out of the box. Think out of the box. Think, what is a creative way in which we can do this? Where is the creativity? Because as we're learning, they've kind of like demoralized us being farmers, being able to raise our own gardens, doing all those kinds of things. Well, we do have to do it. We have to do it. And that's why with the hams, it's very good. I wanted to bring up something else that I've heard on calls on Monday, Thursday, and Friday. There are some people that come on with mobiles. Art, can you fill me in on what this mobile is? And I know I studied it on the test, but I've seen you do it in your car. I've ridden in Art's car when we've gone on a long trip, and he has his ham set with him. But what is it about the mobiles that they call in differently than we do when we're on a solid stationary radio in our home?
Well, when they're calling for nets, generally a mobile, of course, has lower power. The antenna is not up like it would be a base station. And if you're mobile or sometimes portable, when they're checking the nets, they'll ask for mobile or visiting stations. That would be because you're low power, if you're mobile, and your signal wouldn't be as strong into the net controller as the one mounted at a base. And if you're mobile, they want to pick you up and recognize it because you're moving, obviously, and you may be out of range of commenting or getting back into the repeater or the net controller. So they'll recognize the mobile unit, find out who you are, if you have anything to pass on, while you're still within range. So that's one reason they get the mobile unit, the lesser power units first, and then they'll go to the regular check-ins for base stations on that. Referring back to the CW, I saw a thing one time where these Navy men or than a ship that was down, but they were in an air bubble, and they were and they didn't think anybody had survived it. And one of them knew a little Morse code, and he had a knife or a wrench or something, and he started banging on the ship, and he tapped out a message hitting on the hull of the ship, and the sonar picked that up. So Morse code come in handy just with a wrench hitting the side of a ship. That might be interesting to keep that up. And one other thing, when you're giving phonetics, when I found I made me some QSL cards or a little a pocket card with my call on one side and my grid. On the other side, I have the alphabet and phonetics. You flip the card over so you can always have it in your pocket if you want to refer to it. For instance, I say my handle is Art. But now, if I just said Art, you might have said, did he say Art, A-R-T, or Mark, M-A-R-K? So Art and Mark sound the same, but if I say Alpha Romeo Tango, you got it square. That's one good thing of phonetics, too. Over.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that clarity. And that's really what Terry's been attempting for all of us to do. And Jan, we're almost ready to close down here in last 4 minutes, and I want to get off in like 2 minutes so that the others can get on and have no overlap. But did you get my list of the phonetics that I got out of the ARRL, Amateur Radio Relay League? I think that's how you say it. And did you get that list so you could put it up on our ham?
I have one, and I think I got yours as well. Yeah, I can go ahead and put that up on the ham page.
That way people can download it and have it at home,
right.
And that'll be very good for them. And I wish to thank Jan for being a timer for this evening and keeping me on tune. And I want to thank Art for being my mentor for all the years until I got the wisdom to know he's my Elmer. And I can call him an Alma now because he's done so much electronics. But thank you for all your wisdom that you've learned and gleaned and used over all these years, Art. And I really appreciate that. And this is Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf signing off for NLA Hamnet on the air for this Wednesday. See you next week, 8 o'clock. And Terry will be back giving us more instructions. So thank you all for being on the line and everybody that gave us up their name. Over and out. Thank you.